This week on a really adventurous and exciting episode of Hello Ross. Hello.
Oh my God. Am I talking to you?
You are talking to me. What is your name?
Oh my God.
I have no idea who's here. It's going to be some of you. We'll see what happens together. It's Hello Ross. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to a very interesting new way of doing Hello Ross. You know, I started the show because I really wanted people who were interesting to pop by and say hi. And we've had incredible people. I mean, Chelsea Handler, Guy Fieri, Teresa Caputo, interesting, fascinating people. And, you know, the truth is I love sort of like broadcasting in a way where I've never done it, where it's just like me in a room and a thing. It's not how I do it. You know, this is all about connecting with people. It's a whole point. I mean, that's why the show and my social media are all Hello Ross, because it's about me saying hello to you and you saying hello to me. And so as I'm, you know, this show is a sort of work in progress and we're figuring it out. And I'm really trying to feel like what I want to do. I had to like sit myself down and say, what's the whole point? What do you want to do, you know, with this podcast? Cause like output is one thing. Okay. Right. Here's me and da, 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 da. Great. But like, for me, it's about the connecting, you know. It's about like, hi you, hi me, hi. And I love interviewing people who do extraordinary things. We'll keep doing that here. We absolutely will. You know, you never know what kind of big superstar will pop by here. Like when we had Richard Fierro, who stopped the Club Q shooter, you know, someone who did extraordinary things. We love that. I love that. And I also want to find a way to just connect with you guys. And so I thought, like, how can I do it? So right now, I'll tell you how we're going to do this. I am in my dressing room at the Drew Barrymore Show. I brought a mic in. You know, my little laptop is set up here. And I'm a one-man band doing this. And what I've done is I've shared the Zoom link. You know how, like, if you guys, we all know Zoom meetings by now. Someone sends you a link and then you're put in a waiting room and then the host lets you in. So I blasted it out on my social media. And I thought, well, let's see if anybody shows up. And you guys, no lie, right now, there are tons of people in the waiting room. And so I'm just going to pick up on people. This could be dangerous. There could be some total wackadoos. This episode, there's no like theme. I think going forward, we'll sort of set a theme for the week, maybe if this goes well and we continue to do it. But this one, I just sort of like dip our toe in the open phone line, Zoom line thing of it all. And we'll just see what happens. I'm so excited to connect with you. This is the whole point. Really, truly mean that from the bottom of my heart. It's why it's just what I do, you know? And so I'm excited. Nothing's off limits. Ask me anything. We can talk about anything. So after the break, I'm going to be picking up on complete strangers. We'll see who is here this week to say hello, Ross.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Yeah. Okay. Very exciting. I have pulled up here the waiting room. There are so many people. I guess I'll just pick up. Hello.
Oh my God. Am I talking to you?
You are talking to me. What is your name?
Oh my God. I'm Kelly, and I have to tell you something.
What?
Yesterday. Well, first of all, I'm in Palm Desert and my son's in Palm Springs.
Oh my God. Hi, neighbor. I live there when I'm not in New York.
I know you do. And trust me, you said the other day on Drew, if I meet you on Monday, we're going to be having drinks on Thursday. We are. But yesterday, my son and I, we went to a taping at The Price is Right.
Oh my God. Did you come on down?
I can't say anything, but when we were driving up yesterday, I told my son, I said, if I get on stage and I spin the wheel, I'm going to run through the kids' names and the grandkids' names. And at the very end, I'm going to be, and as hello, Ross Matthews.
Oh my God.
We have to connect. I look like crap right now because we spent all day in LA and then we went to the casino in Palm Springs to celebrate.
Look, hey, hold on. You are running too fast. I need to talk to you about a few things. One, I love that we're neighbors. We can do a happy hour. I would love that one day. I love that you drove into LA to do The Price is Right and that you signed some sort of strict confidentiality. You can't tell me, but I also love, and I just wish more people would do this. I always think, even when people win Oscars, why are they not thanking me? You know, why are people, and every opportunity, I just want to say this to our listeners. If you're ever interviewed on the news, you know, if you ever are a witness to something, you know, give the details to the reporter and then say, hello, Ross Matthews.
I absolutely. And I know because you said something on your podcast with your, Leslie Jordan that really hit home, and we need to sit down and have a cocktail or soup at the casino because we're regulars there.
Oh my God. I do talk about the soup at the Cathedral City Casino. Get the pozole. It is so delicious. I can't stop talking about it everywhere I go.
I know, but oh my God, you do not know. Yesterday was an absolutely unbelievable dream come true in my life. Absolutely. I feel like crying. I don't know, but I'm just telling you.
You're really not going to tell me how you did on The Price is Right?
No.
Do they threaten you? Do they threaten you that if you tell anybody, they'll take away your prize?
Mm-hmm.
They do. Which means you got a prize, which means you won.
No, it doesn't. Let me just tell you, you have to be like, I have the coolest, I'm just going to throw it out there. I have the coolest gay son in Palm Springs that I'm like, Ryan, I have to meet. Nobody else in this world. There's two people that does it for me. You and Elton John. We've seen Elton John 100 million times. My son has been on stage with Elton right here at the Shoulder in Vegas. I wish I could be recording this to show him. They're going to die.
I am recording this so you can't show him. And I love that I'm in the same category as Elton John for you. It's the only time I'll ever be in the same category as Elton John. I am so grateful to know you, and how fun that we got to do this on the show. This is a total new experiment of just sort of picking up and seeing who's there.
I know. I don't follow a lot of people on social media. I literally just really started watching you on Drew. I work at home and I cannot believe how much I love that show.
Oh, good.
So I watch it every day. I don't know how a lot of this works. And when people say DM me, like, how do I do that? How do I just DM you and say, let's have soup or a martini? We have to connect. I'm telling you, I'm not a crazy fan, but I absolutely adore you and love you. And there's so much I just want to say to you and meet you.
Well, I adore you already too. So just send me a DM and we'll go out to happy hour. You got to figure it out. Ask your gay son how to do a DM, send it to me. Hello, Ross. And I'll take it out to a pozole and a cocktail. Got it?
Oh my God. I love this. This has been 2 days of unbelievable.
Okay. And I know you won The Price is Right. I can't wait to see it.
Oh my God. We have got to meet, man.
See, I can't crack her. I cannot crack this nut. I really thought I could get you that, but I believe in my heart that you won. I'm so happy. Thank you for popping by to say hello, Ross.
Thank you, Ross, so much. I love you so much. And when are you coming back to the desert? So I know.
Soon, I hope. Soon. But right now I'm in freezing New York, but I'm happy to be here. You know, right now I'm in the dressing room at the Drew Barrymore show and it's quite a life here. There are more people I got to go talk to. I'm so happy to meet you and I'll see you in the desert, my love.
Yes, you will. Love
okay.
you.
Okay. Love you too. This is so fun, you guys. I love this. I'm already into this. I got to tell you. Let's see. Yeah, I'm just clicking on names. We'll see who comes up. Linda, are you there?
I'm here.
Linda, now where are you? Coming to me from?
I'm from Ontario, Canada.
Well, hi. Oh, I speak the language.
This is so great.
Well, thank you. I wanted to just do something totally different and find a way. And I'm still, you know, we're workshopping it, figuring it out, but a way for us to say hello. So there's no theme for this episode. There's no talking point. But is there anything you want to talk about, Linda? And I'll go anywhere you want to go. What's on your mind?
Well, I think it's really interesting how things are changing in our world. I mean, I find the Twitter world has gone out of control.
Totally.
It's been interesting, though, too, because just recently, any response that comes from an outsider, like a Canadian, I've had like backlashing from, you know, people saying that as a Canadian, I don't have an opinion to share about what's going on. And I find that's really...
You mean about what's going on in America with like politics or with culture? What do you mean?
Just like political things. Like, I mean, and Twitter's gotten to a point where it's getting kind of like really wild and really weird.
Do you engage? Do you engage do you get in like a social media fight? Have you ever done that?
No, I get a private DMs and I like instantly block, but it's just amazing where, because it's like a hit and run. You could just go ahead and, you know, blast anybody, right?
I don't know, Linda. I mean, listen, like you're right. Like it's so grody, some of the stuff that happens on social. I just try to look at it the other way. Like if it weren't for social, you know, maybe we wouldn't be talking right now. There are some amazing things, but can I tell you a secret or something I did on social that I can't believe I did, but it's true. So during the election, I would like read things and I would get so heated, you know, one way or the other. And so, but I'm like, I can't engage. I can't do it on my real social media. I created a fake Twitter that I could go and I created a totally anonymous account. And when I would see something that would just make me irate, I would go in, switch into my crazy, insane anonymous one. And then I would tweet like at them and it totally got my aggression out. And I'm not proud of it, but we got to do what we got to do, Linda.
You, that is wild.
Good for you. Oh, no, not good for me. I'm not proud of it. I was like, I was sucked into that evil vortex, but I got it out of my system. And and then once I did it once or twice, I was like, I'm good. This is not what I want to do. But I did succumb just a little bit.
I think it gives us a sense of release though too, because we do have opinions, right? And I think that's the forum to do it in. But when it gets to the point where it's just out of control, and that's why sometimes I just step back, because it's really interesting the goings on, but
totally.
I mean, it is good entertainment too, I have to say. It's just you know, you're seeing it unfold. But
well, thank you, Linda, for popping by. And listen, I love that nothing's off limits, so I never know what conversation's going to come up. But thank you so much.
I appreciate it. It's such a pleasure to talk to you, Ron.
You too. I'm going to move on to whoever's next. Right. All right. So whenever. We don't know who's going to be next, but let's click on the next person. See, so that's fun. So people are just going to pop in and then they're going to bring up a topic, I guess, and I'll just go with them and share my thoughts. We'll see how it works. All right. Well, hi there. What's your name?
I'm Nakia. How are you?
Hi, Nakia. I'm fabulous. Thanks so much for popping in to say hello, Ross. Where are you zooming in from?
I'm in Austin, Texas.
Oh God, I love Austin, Texas. I had a really great brisket there one time. As I said, it was so good. I said, a tisket, a tasket, put some brisket in my basket. I took it home.
Always. I can't eat brisket right now though, because I recently had jaw surgery.
Why?
I had a really bad underbite and sleep apnea, and jaw surgery fixes both of those things.
Wow. Was it like, did it hurt?
It still hurts.
God, did it change your face though? Because I would love, I have had a double chin my entire life. I like, no matter how much weight I lose, it's just all right here. How did it change the shape of your face?
So I used to not have a profile at all. And it's brought my this part of my face forward. I had a very flat face.
Interesting. Oh God.
They moved the jaw back on the bottom and they brought it forward in the front.
Wow. Did you have to go under and all that?
Yeah. And I was in the hospital for 3 days.
Oh my God. If I went under though, I got to tell you, Nakia, I'd be like, suck it all out. If I'm going under, I mean, start at the jaw and go lower all the way.
Well, I did lose 30 pounds because of it.
Did you do a liquid diet? Is that why?
I have to be, I'm still on a liquid diet.
Oh my God.
Everything goes through a straw. I can have a few soft foods, but to be honest, because I can't really feel my teeth, and there's still a splint in my mouth. It's not fun to eat.
So you're doing like a Jello? I do love a finger Jello, I have to say. Out of all the Jellos, it's my favorite because of the consistency, you know?
Yeah, Jell-O's good, pudding's good, mashed potatoes. I tried eating spaghetti for lunch today. That was a no-go because I have braces, so it gets caught in the braces.
There's a whole lot going on there, Nakia. How much longer until you can, just tear into a piece of Austin brisket?
My guess from talking to the doctors is a few months.
Okay. Okay.
But, you know, I'm also a singer. I was on the first season of The Voice. And I have actually met in WeHo once years ago. And you still follow me on Twitter because of that.
Oh.
I
didn't recognize you because of the jaw.
Well, I had a lot more hair.
Understood. Can you give me a little, you sing. Can you sing me something right now?
You can try to.
Okay.
Let's see. How about... sitting in the morning sun.
Yeah.
I'll be sitting when the evening's done.
And then what?
Watching the ships roll in.
And then?
Then I watch them roll away again.
Yes, Nakia. Who needs a jaw when you sing like that?
That's the first time I've actually sang since I had surgery.
I'm glad. I'm honored that we got to hear it. Thank you, Nakia, for popping in. There's so many people that want to say hi, but I want you to heal well and let me know when you can chew on some flesh. Got it?
You got it. Bye-bye.
Thank you for doing this. How fun, you guys. I can't even tell you. I'm like into it. I never know who we're going to get. All over the country, all over the world, people are in our waiting room right now just to pop by to say, hello, Ross. And, you know, it's sort of like Zoom roulette. Convo roulette. That's what we should call this. Convo roulette. Are you there? Hello.
Hello.
Well, hi. What's your name?
My name is Shelly.
Hi, Shelly. I'm Ross. How are you?
Oh my God. I'm so good. I can't believe I'm talking to you. Hi. Well,
hi. Where are you from, Shelly? Where are you living right now? Where are you sitting?
I am from North Dakota. I live in Seattle.
Oh, I grew up near Seattle and my dad was born in North Dakota. Oh, and you just picked up a human being. Who is this?
I did. This is my son. This is Kyrie.
Hi, Kyrie. How old is Kyrie?
He's 1.
1 year old. Oh my. I assume Kyrie's a big fan of mine, probably.
He's like a massive fan of yours.
Yeah, I can tell.
To the podcast since he was in my tummy. And so,
What's it like? Are you a new mom? Is Kyrie your first baby?
Yep, first baby. It's crazy. Like,
yeah, what's it like that you grew a human? You grew a human being. What's this like?
It's crazy. Like, I look at him and I'm like, wait, what? How did this happen?
Yeah. And did you say you're single too?
Yeah. So single mom.
Oh God, that's a lot of work.
So much work. Plus, you know, you got to make some money living in Seattle. So I got to work and.
Totally. What have you learned about yourself in a year after you grew a human being and been doing this by yourself? What have you learned about yourself you didn't know before?
That I can do it, that I can do anything, you know, like anything, doesn't matter.
Did it surprise you? Did you surprise yourself?
Oh, absolutely. It's crazy. Like, I never thought that I would be able to keep a human alive. Mm-hmm. And here we are a year later and he is great and I'm great and we're figuring it out.
What do you know about life now that you didn't, you know, we learned that, you know, what you know about yourself is that you can do it, but what is like creating a human and raising a human? What does it teach you about our life existence and our purpose and all that?
I think it just taught me patience and love and like, everybody's going through something. Don't judge them. You know, you see the moms at the store who are like mortified because their kid's acting crazy. And it's like, girl, my child just did that in the parking lot. I get it.
You get it.
Just, like, be patient for people and like love them and offer to help them instead of be like, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah. It's interesting. We just talked about how people are tearing people down on social media. Linda, another listener had that to say. And so this is a nice reminder of the flip side that like, it's so easy to be so judgmental and mean and all that with the anonymity of the keyboard and all of that.
Yeah.
But you know, to your point, when we're just walking through the parking lot, we are just human beings meeting each other one at a time. And that compassion is so important. Oh, I love that I got to meet you, Shelly.
I love that I got to meet you, Ross. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you. Well, I knew you had good taste, just like your son. And thank you. Thank you for popping by. I love that we got to talk a little bit about parenthood. And I think a lot of people relate to that. We're going to be doing
themed. Ask you a question?
Yeah, ask me anything.
Just really quick. Now that I'm a parent, I wonder about you and Dr. Gentleman, fiance, caller, husband. Do you guys ever think about having kids, adopting?
Or? You know, that it's so funny. I actually asked a celebrity that on the Drew Barrymore show the other week. And as soon as it came out of my mouth, they handled it well. The audience is laughing. It was such a joke. But as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, why did I ask that? Like,
I hear you.
No, I'm not judging you because I did the same thing. But afterwards, like, even I felt it in the moment. And then there were people on social media saying, Ross, you shouldn't ask that to people, especially women. And so I was like, I got it. But I want to let you know that I've made a choice. I'm not going to ask that question to people going forward. But I want to let you know, Shelley, you can ask me. Anyone can ask me anything. I just wanted to put that out there because I wanted people to know that I did hear them and I have made a choice and I really get it now. But I will tell you, probably not. You know, I always thought I would be a father. But I kind of feel like I lost my dad young. So at this age, I don't know, you know, I'm 43. I would want to really be there. I wouldn't want my kid to go through what I went through. I was too young to lose my dad. And that's why I don't do it.
I totally get that.
I might change my mind though, Shelley. I reserve the right to be 78 totally be still fertile.
Virile. The only reason I ask is because I could just see you and Mr. Garcia being like the coolest dads and everybody being jealous that like you're their dad. That
maybe. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I'm still a work in progress. We're still figuring me out in terms of the grown up. I'm going to be 43, but still figuring it out. Anyway,
you enjoy your best life.
Thank you, my love. Thank you. And honestly, keep asking. And anyone in the world out there in the world, if you see me on the street, you can ask me that question. I'm good with it. I won't be asking it anymore, but I'm good with it. I'm good with it.
I totally understand that.
Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you. Bye. Love you.
Bye. Oh, I love you too. Oh, this is fun. Okay. I want to pick up on, let's try this person. I mean, really, I have no idea who's in here. Fun. Okay. Hello. Are you there?
Hi there.
Well, hi, Colleen. I can't see you.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Why?
Because I haven't showered yet.
Okay. You get a pass. Colleen, where are you calling from?
Dallas, Texas.
Oh, I've been to Dallas, Texas. You know, I have a key to the city of Arlington, Texas, right next to you.
Very good.
I know. I was there for the Super Bowl one year. They're playing there at the big, what's it called? The big dome? They called it Jerry's World because Jerry Jones owns the Cowboys. But what's it really called? The big stadium there?
You know what? I can't remember. I guess I can actually see it from my house. It's so flat.
For real. Well, I was there and it was a crazy ice storm. I was covering for the Tonight Show, crazy, crazy ice storm. And we got stuck there and I had the worst hangover of my life in Dallas because we went to a place where it was 50 cent margaritas. Ugh.
50 cent margaritas.
Yeah.
Did you go to the roundup?
I don't know where I was. I don't know where I was. I don't know how I got home. It was the worst. I haven't had a hangover like that before, since. I wish it on nobody. It was a real rough morning in Dallas for me. Ooh. What do you do for a living?
I just retired from being a flight attendant with American Airlines.
Oh my God. Talk to me, Colleen. Tell me everything. How, you know, flight attendants really, I think they've always had a really tough job and they went through it, during the pandemic. Were you doing it during those crazy times? Did it get worse?
Yes.
How so?
Still is. Entitled anti-maskers, just please put your mask on. No, you know, expletive, you.
God, and I understand, like, people were scared, people were frustrated, but they didn't need to be mean and rude to you. You weren't setting the policy. So how would you handle when somebody was just outright rude?
I just walk away.
You did.
It's not worth it. You pick your battles.
Yeah. Huh.
You know, I mean, if you don't want to comply, then I just, okay.
There's an Instagram account called Passenger Shaming. I love, started by, I think she was a former flight attendant. Yeah. Do you know that Instagram?
Yes.
Yeah. She talks about pet peeves. What was your number one pet peeve? Even pre-pandemic, what was your pet peeve as a flight attendant?
Bare feet on anything.
Yeah.
My armrest in the seatbelt. on the video monitors in first class, using your feet to switch to another channel.
Disgusting. Did you ever catch people doing like the Mile High Club? I don't understand how that works, how you fit. How do people, two people go in at the same time? How do you stand in there, let alone gyrate?
Well, first of all, yes, I have experienced that, you know, with passengers doing that, but I would not touch anything in those lavatories to save my life.
Really? Why? I mean, because clearly.
Disgusting. People do all kinds of things in there. I mean, you would think that people would know how to use the restroom to just urinate or whatever. You find stuff all over the place, on the walls, on the, you know, I mean, why would you take your clothes off and do that?
So let me ask you this question. If you knew people were having sex in the airplane bathroom, Colleen, and you're the flight attendant, do you just let them finish and ignore it? Yep. Or do you knock and be like, come on, go to your seat?
No, just let them do it.
Really?
I'm serious.
This is good to know for everybody who wants to. The chances are if you go in, they'll be like, all right, come on. Now, is it true that, is that the only place on a plane they serve warm nuts? Okay, I'm done with you, Colleen. Fun. This is fun. I could talk to you as a flight. Maybe we'll do a whole episode with a flight attendant. Maybe I might go more in depth with you, Colleen, at some point. You got it?
All right.
I'm grateful that you called in. Thank you so much, my love.
Thanks, son.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
How fun, you guys. Oh God, I would never have sex on a plane. I mean, I don't even think I'm doing it right in real life in a bed, you know, like, let alone on a plane. It's just too complicated. I mean, I'm not at that level. Let's see who we can get in next. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Raquel. I can't believe this.
Isn't this fun?
Listen. Where are you? Oh, what? I'm in LA now.
Oh, you're in LA. And what were you going to say?
I have a specific request.
Go.
So I've been trying to contact any producer. Last year, you and Drew did this big segment on my company, Rock Innovation, the headlamps. And I have gifts for you guys.
Tell me about that. Remind me the headlamps. We do shows every day, so I don't remember. This is last year. Tell me.
It's the hat with the light.
Put one on for me. Show me.
Hold on. This is your gift, but I...
Well, you don't need to send us anything, but just show me what it is and plug it.
I have to, because they were supposed to be a surprise and I wanted to make sure you got them.
I remember these. Yes. So
I had them customized and everything, and I didn't want to mail them and then have them go into whatever. So I've been holding on to them, and I obviously follow you guys. And I wanted to thank you for, you know, we were surprised. I have no idea who ordered them, when.
Well, so let's just tell the audience what they are. So they're hats with a light.
I'm on TV?
Yeah, you're right. Let's talk. So we put them on and you turn the light on. What do they do? What's the purpose of these? They're like beanie hats with the light. Right. So when you're out on a walk or something.
Yeah. Recreation and safety, actually. Yeah. So I'm a runner. I created them because I have young kids and I would run in the evening. And in the winter, when I lived in Chicago, it gets dark early. And at the time, there were only headlamps.
Yes. So what you're holding up now for people listening is like a beanie with a little light in the middle that you put on. And it really is like a headlight coming out of your forehead. Right.
And then you charge it in your computer and it lasts for 8 hours.
That's amazing. You made us one that has a Drew Barrymore show logo on it. So I'll make sure you get my email. If you email me, send it to me in Instagram, Hello Ross, a DM. I will give you an address and I will get that to the production and everybody. Okay.
Okay. Perfect. Cause I have a box for you and I have a box for Drew.
Great. And how do people, if they're listening now and they want to look at your company, and I love that you're an entrepreneur, how do they find you?
Oh, well, my company is, my name is Raquel, but my nickname is Rock. ROQ. So my company is Rock Innovation, www.roq-innovation.com. And I'm on Instagram at Rock Innovation.
Fantastic. I'm so proud of you. Congratulations on finding a niche in the marketplace that needed to be found and doing something about
it. Also, I won Shark Tank. in January with the product, and we're on Oprah's Favorite Things too. And that was the same year when Drew put it on her list.
So when you're on Shark Tank, what's that like? You go in there, do you practice your pitch like over and over and over again?
You do, but I mean, it's very hard. Developing the pitch is hard.
Yes.
The pitch changes a lot. It's hard.
I imagine.
My pitch changed like a few days even before we went out. So it's a lot of work, but it's awesome.
So when you go in there, did you get more than one offer from a shark or just one?
Yeah, I got an offer from two sharks.
Which sharks?
From Mr. Wonderful and Peter Thomas, who was a guest shark.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I just posted because it was my 1 year anniversary this week.
And who did you end up going with?
Well, I chose, the offer was from those two.
You got together. Two sharks in one, at one. That's when they really love it. I think I'd be great on Shark Tank. I just don't have any like that kind of money to invest. I can't be a guy like, here's $1 million for like a percentage right. of your company. Yeah. But I do love that show and I love that you were on it. Congratulations, everybody. Rock thank Innovation. You. Go check you out. Thank you. And send me a DM, okay?
I am. I'll do it right now.
Okay.
Thank perfect. You so much.
Thank you, my love. Congrats.
All right. Love good you. Work.
Thank you. Oh, look at that. Oh, cute. Let's try to find, I think this is Craig. Hello, Craig.
Hey, Ross Matthews. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
So good. So is this your set behind you or your dressing room?
This is my dressing room. We're on Zoom, so you can see this is my dressing room behind me. And where are you zooming in from?
My home office in Eureka, California. So it's Northern California.
I know Eureka. All right.
Oh, yeah?
Because I grew up in Washington State. And so every year for college, I'd go back for home, to Washington to stay with my parents, and I would drive back and forth. So that drive from like right under British Columbia to Los Angeles, I did multiple times a year. And so of course I've driven through Eureka. I probably stayed there before too.
Great. Do you mind if I ask you a question or are you like,
oh yeah, no, go tell me what. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I was just curious because I guess when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the topic of happiness because you're such a happy persona and you kind of like radiate happy to me. And so it just seems like a good person and a good platform to talk about that topic. So I'm curious, I found that, at some point in your adult life, you realize happiness is an internal job and you can't rely on external forces or people, places, or things to give you sustained long-term inner happiness. And sometimes those things, those external things bring you temporary joy and of course, happiness, but then you always return to your baseline. So I'm curious, what's your journey been or just your advice for your listeners about finding and prioritizing their internal happiness and joy? For those who are just starting that journey or have started that journey and been doing it for a while or renegotiating their inner happiness.
Oh, that's interesting. The way you say renegotiating your inner happiness, that's interesting. You know, it is, I don't want to simplify it. I was going to say it's a choice. It's not a choice. It's a choice to be in the battle for happiness all the time. I think, some of us are lucky enough. I'm among them where my baseline is just, it's relatively happy, but I have had real trauma in my life, real loss, real sadness, real heartbreak, all of it. And I am not a Pollyanna. I have felt it all, every part of it, every stage of that trauma and that sadness. And, I think people get sometimes lost in the sadness, and maybe find great comfort in it. And then it can become like a hurricane. It can become all consuming. And that's what you can't allow to happen.
Yeah.
There is a fine line between feeling it all and becoming it all, And I think it's the choice to talk to somebody about it. It's the choice to go outside and go for a walk.
Yeah.
It's a choice to take a shower, to just reset. At the end of the day, we are in control of a lot of things. Some people have chemical issues, but unless it's something really serious, like I said, a chemical imbalance or even with your body, a tumor or heart disease, something like that. A lot of it though, we can control with our own thinking and our own actions. And so that's what I do. Is when I feel like I'm losing the battle to to trauma or grief or whatever, is I just decide to take the reins and change, reset something. And like, it's as simple as a walk or a shower, or I'll call a friend, something.
Yeah. Totally. I think that's great. Yeah. As I was just thinking about this question, I was thinking of just what you were just touching on is, of course, like making space and acknowledging there are people like who are marginalized and oppressed or impacted by like systems that are working against them. So of course, this isn't like, doesn't feel like an equitable journey necessarily to find your inner peace. And I like want to believe that there's a way to find, you know, going to gratitude. I think I've heard you say before, and you
know, oh, yeah.
Circumstances, right?
Yeah, you have heard me say that. I always say, go to gratitude. When you're frustrated at work with your boss, go to gratitude. At least you got a job, girl, and you can have it until you choose to leave. You know, if your husband's driving you crazy that day, go to gratitude. Go to why you fell in love with him in the first place. You know, as often as you can, when you go to gratitude, it shifts your perspective. And sometimes you can just be grateful that you're still breathing, that you're still here. Even if you just have that to hold on to, it really can get you through the really tough times. And also, if you are in the midst of something tough, just know that that is not exclusive to you. Even the people that you see smiling on television have felt that kind of pain, and they survived it too. And you will as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ross. I knew you'd be so great at sharing that message with your listeners. So thank you for.
You're welcome. I love the question. Thank you, Craig. And I think I'm going to do just maybe one more, because this has been like better than I even thought. Because I thought maybe it'd be terrible, but of course you have all surprised me and delighted me. And to be honest, I'm not that surprised. I meet you out on the streets and you all blow me away every time I get to meet one of you. And well, let's say hello to our very final Zoomer. I really got to name this segment something good. Hello. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me? I can't.
I'm so excited to see you.
Oh, what's your name?
My name is Ina Robin, but I do my Instagram by my middle name, Skylar.
Well, hi. What should I call you?
Skylar.
Okay, Skylar. That was easy. That you made that very complicated. I've never heard anyone have such a complicated answer to what's your name? Skylar. Hi.
Hi.
You're so cute. Where are you?
I'm in Sacramento, California.
Mm-hmm. I've been to Sacramento many, many, many times.
So I have this major question.
Go. Anything.
How did you get into the business? Because I had never seen you before. Uh-huh. And I watched Drew and I was like, who is this distinguished, handsome man? He dresses well.
Oh, thank you for noticing.
And then you made me laugh. And I was like, oh my goodness. And then I wasn't able to watch Drew for a while. And so I said, let me follow this guy. And I was like, oh my goodness.
Well, I'll tell you, how I got started in television is so crazy. And I love, you know, I've been on TV now for over 20 years and I love that you're just now I love that you're just now finding me. I started on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. They called me Ross the intern because I was like an intern behind the scenes on Leno. But I love television. I've always wanted to be a talk show host. I always wanted to be in TV. So I started there back in 2001, interviewing on all the red carpets, all the celebrities. And I did that show for 14 years. And then I started on the E! Red carpets at all the Oscars, you know, with Juliana Rancic and Ryan Seacrest and me and Kelly Osbourne. And then I was on Chelsea Lately. And now I'm on a judge and producer on RuPaul's Drag Race for years and years and years, like a decade I've been on that show. And now the Drew Barrymore show. And look, it took us all of this way, Skylar. It took all of this for us to find each other.
Serious, because one, I was never allowed to do late night.
Oh, yeah. Like, so your parents were like, no?
Yes. My parents were like, bedtime, 10 o'clock.
Yeah. You know what? When you see, I'm 43 now. My bedtime is like, if I'm out past 10, I like pay for it the next day. What time do you go to bed?
Between 9:30 and 10.
Yeah. Does that make us lame, Skylar? I don't know. I think on paper maybe, but I don't think we're lame. I'm looking at us right now. We look pretty great.
I know. Right? And that's why it kills me that I'm like, when you say late night, I'm like, oh, I don't know anything in late night.
I know, me either. I got to tell you, I'm so much more suited to daytime. Because I live like an active senior. I have a sensible bedtime. I get so much done by 8 a.m. You have no idea. And so this show with Drew is a dream come true. I love that you watch us together.
Oh, as a matter of fact, it's on right now on my television.
Oh my gosh, really? And I'm in my dressing room at the show right now too. Oh, you're right. There we are. She just turned her camera on to show me. Oh, Skylar. You know, I tell people all the time when Drew and I started doing the show, we were, the audience was empty. It was crazy pandemic. And we couldn't even go on the street to sort of like interact with people because that wasn't really happening either. And so now, and we're picked up for a season 4 now, Skylar, we really feel that people are watching. You know, of course, the ratings, it's the fastest growing show in daytime. So the ratings are up. But I feel it. I knew that when they told us the ratings were great, I'm like, I already knew it because I feel it out there on the street. People are watching. People are coming up, talking about it with me. And Skylar, it makes me so happy that you finally found me on TV and now we know each other and you're watching. So thank you.
Thank you personally, because I love the fact that you make me laugh on there. And I have to say, in yesterday's show, when you put on that snowsuit, like as if we were children,
I was
dying. I had tears. It was hysterical. And I was like, oh my word. I said, only someone who is wild and crazy could get into something like that.
Well, just wait to tell you, see what we have in store for you coming up. Some great stuff, Skylar. And I want to thank you for calling in today. Our very first time going live. We're going to do it again. Okay. So I hope to see you back here.
Okay. But I also wanted to say congratulations on your wedding.
Thank you.
I saw your pictures. It was very nice, very sweet. And I did not know that you wrote a book.
I've written two books. Man Up is my first book, all about growing up in a farm town and how I got into television. And then Name Drop are some of my favorite celebrity stories that you got to read to believe. They're so good. So check out my books. They're available everywhere. Okay.
Okay. So I will look into getting those.
Yeah. But I go a little naughty in them too. There's there's stories about when I was dating a girl in high school and things I might've done.
Ooh.
I know. Even I have faced the dragon. Skylar.
Wow.
Literally. All right. Thank you. That's all. That's a deep tease. Do with that what you want. Be careful. Yes. Thank you, my love. And thank you to everybody who called in today. This has just been, I'm so glad it worked. Honestly, I was really curious of how this would go down. And it's been a real joy. So to each of you who got to pop in, I want to say thank you to all of you. And there are so many people still in the waiting room who didn't get a chance to come in. Hopefully we will do this again. And I would love to see you next time. How fun. We'll be back with my happy ending. My happy ending, I just teased with Skylar. It is, the happy ending is the best thing I've seen all week. And the best thing I've seen all week is that we did get renewed. The Drew Barrymore Show, we got renewed for a fourth season, right in the middle of our third season, which is currently airing right now. I just want to say to the crew here and the staff, it's like the best gig ever. And these people, we work so hard and we have so much fun. And the fact that you guys are showing up means so much to all of us. So on behalf of Drew, just thank you. Thank you so much. Speaking of Drew, I'm on her podcast, Drew's News, this week. I was on last week as well. So make sure you check that out wherever you get your podcasts. And again, to all of you who popped in to say hello, Ross, thank you. And until next week, bye-bye. Hey, it's me, Ross Matthews. Thanks so much for listening. It means a ton. Make sure you like us, give us a good review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can find us on video at Cumulus Podcast Network on YouTube.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.